Apostle Fermi Lazarus is a man raised by God to demonstrate his wisdom and authority to the Last Day Church. He is the lead pastor of Sphere of Light Church, and God told him years ago that a time will come where my wisdom will be needed to navigate tough times in the body of Christ. Then I will cause your voice to be heard, and all who pay attention to my word on your lips will not lack light and direction. He is a man sent from God, sent to raise God's end time armies. With Apostle Fermi Lazarus, every minute counts as you listen attentively.
Father, we just want to give you thanks and give you praise. You deserve all honor and all glory. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Let's give the Lord a big hand. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Good to see you. Can you just welcome someone this morning and say, good to see you? Amen. Good. So we started the topic ecclesiology. Am I correct? Which is one of the 10 branches. Please pay attention. Which is one of the 10 branches of systematic theology. Is that okay? Good. So I'm going to be running you through systematic theology courses. All right. So you can be rooted. Is that okay? In the study of the Bible. And understanding what this is. Not just for pastors. Are you following what I'm saying here? Not just for who? For pastors. So I said we have 10 branches of, all right, systematic theology. Who remembers the 10? Amen. Good. Pneumatology, soteriology, angelology, bibliology, amatiology, all right, eschatology, ecclesiology, soteriology? All right. You tried. Clap for yourself. No, you should clap for yourself. Yes. You tried. Praise God. So I said when I laid the foundation that ecclesiology is the study of what? The church. And that's from the word ecclesia. From the word what? Ecclesia. All right, that's the Greek word that interprets to mean the word church, ecclesia. All right, and I showed you going by the law of first mention, which is, now listen, let me show you how to apply these laws. When you are studying a subject matter, you want to have holistic study on a subject matter, you cannot really exhaust the meaning if you separate the meaning from the original context where it was used first. Alright? If that word was used first in a place, it matters the context in which it is used. Are you following what I'm saying here? So that's why we check. The law of first mention is not just something people do for bragging. Are you following what I'm saying now? Alright? So you check. And once you are checking first mention, it means you're already checking the histological use of that word. Are you following what I'm saying here? Very important. So the first person who mentioned the word church is Jesus. Who is the first person? Jesus. All right? That's the first person. Matthew chapter number 16, verse what? Verse 18. And that's why Jesus was asking them, that who do men say that I am? All right? Some said you are Elijah. Some said you are Jeremiah. Some said you are who? Ezekiel, Isaiah. And so on. Alright. Men are trying to put you in pre-existing molds. So he asked them, who do you say that I am? Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of who? The living God. Praise God. You are the Christ, the anointed one, the Son. Alright. The word Son there is not the word Nepios. That's not the word Son there. Alright, nepios is a word that is used to describe babies. Are you feeling what I'm saying now? Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The son is one who is mature to enter into inheritance. Are you feeling what I'm saying here? Good. And you see, there are still many things that we are not clear about as Christians. One of the things we are not clear about is, who is God? As simple as that question is, many believers don't have answer. And now it's gone so bad that in an attempt to do image laundry or image laundering for God, we have now tried to explain God out of his person. Are you following what I'm saying? I was shocked to my bones when I began to hear statements like, when Elijah called down fire, it was not God who answered, it was demons. That's not true. So even when we understand, let me show you. Amen. Let's do an interesting study together. Are you with me? Are you ready for this? Good. Let's check the book of Hebrews chapter number 1. Let's check Hebrews chapter number 1. I like to stay with me closely this morning. If you are there, say amen. Good. Hebrews 1, all right, verse. Let's start from verse 1. God, who at sundry times and diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophet, art in these last days. In what last days? In these last days. So according to Bible understanding, the last days began from the day of Pentecost. Are you with me now? Because Joel prophesied in Joel 2. He said, it will come to pass afterwards in the last days, and I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. So when was the spirit poured upon all flesh? Pentecost. Are you following what I'm saying here? So last day I started since. You might be coming too late. Uh-huh. Now he hath in these last days spoken to us, all right, by his son, whom he had appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the worlds. By whom he made the worlds. Now the worlds there is not talking about systems. The world there is talking about cosmos. Alright? For instance, in Romans 12, when he said, do not be conformed to the world, there is not talking about cosmos. It's talking about systems. So by whom he made the worlds. Who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person. Alright. That is, Jesus is the brightness of God's glory. Amen. Then the express image of who? Of whose person? So we have not yet come into the understanding of the oneness of the Trinity. And it's unfortunate. We have not come into that understanding. And I gave you an illustration that according to biblical, all right, parallelism, my wife and I, we are one. True? Huh? Now, listen. If my wife honors you, it is because I honor you. True? That's the truth. Whoever the Father honors, you will sit there. Do you understand what I'm saying? That doesn't mean we don't have our own different characters. But there is agreement in a covenant. Are you following what I'm saying? Hello? Do you understand what I'm saying? Is this simple enough? Is this simple enough? Good. Alright? So, some people have tried to explain it like, when you get to heaven, there's nothing like the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Then what Bible are you reading? Then who was Jesus crying to that, my Father, why have you forsaken me? Who was he talking about that, except I go, he that is to come will not come? He's talking about the Spirit. And the Bible said to John, he said, there are three that bears witness in heaven. The Father, the Word, not the Son, the Word. You see, the Son was the character he took for your sake. He was never the Son, he was the Word. Jesus was never the Son from the beginning, he was the Word. Hello. Do you understand what I'm saying? He's always been the Word. And then the Spirit. So, because he needed to come. Are you following what I'm saying here? He needed to come to die for man. Alright? Because now to come, now he came as one that is begotten of the Father through the Spirit. Because, now listen, when a woman is pregnant, it is the husband that gets her pregnant. True? But in the case of the birth, the natural birth of Jesus, it was the Holy Ghost that overshadowed Mary. So who is the Father? The Holy Ghost. That's not true. Because God does everything he does by his Spirit. Amen. I can send you certain things. I can't say go and eat for me. True? Hello? If you eat in your own stomach. True? I can't say go and brush your teeth for me. If you brush your teeth, you brush for yourself. True? But that's because you are limited. The Father could ask the Holy Ghost to overshadow Mary, and the Father is still the Father. Are you following what I'm saying here? I'm trying to lay a foundation. Say loud and clear, Jesus is the Word of God. Say it again, it's the Word of God. Say it again, it's the Word of God. Say it again, Jesus is the Word of God. So Jesus is the brightness of God's glory. He is the express image of his person. In recent times, I've heard a lot of theologically constipating matters. I'm sorry. You see, I really don't listen to people anyhow, because if it's not sound doctrine, I won't pay attention. Are you following what I'm saying now? Now, listen. When God was going to make man in the very beginning, Genesis 1, 26, 27, he said, come. The word used there is the word Elohim. And God said. All right, it describes a personality of more than one person. Are you following me? Let us make man in our own what? Image. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every creeping thing that creeps upon the face of the earth. So the Bible says, so God made man in his own image. Male and female created. So you can't just wake up and say Adam was not the image of God. He was. He was. But you see, you don't come into fullness through birth. You come into fullness through growth. And that's why you can see Paul talking to the church at Ephesus. He said, till we all come. It is a destination. It's not something you are. Are you following what I'm saying here? You were not born into it. For instance, if a man is born again now, all right, he is born with the image of God. He is born anew. What part of man is the image of God? Your spirit. Your inner man. Or what the Bible refers to as the hidden man of the heart. Amen? That person on the inside is 10,000 times bigger than the person on the outside. And that's what Nicodemus could not understand. He said, how can a man be born again? What are you saying? Will I enter the second time to my mother's womb? He said, no. He that is born of the Spirit is Spirit. He that is born of the Spirit is Spirit. That is, this second birth is not your body that needs it. It is your spirit. And what is new birth? It is the exchange of what is dead for what is alive. Are you seeing that now? So you were born anew on your inside. Praise God, amen. Are you following what I'm saying here? Now, pay attention. So, Jesus is the express image. Now, what does this statement mean? It means there are things that you cannot know about God except through Christ. Why? All right. Hello. Can I teach you a bit? Are you sure? Why? All right. For many reasons. God is love. He's always been love. But at the same time, he is a consuming fire. You see, you cannot tell me that what God says about himself, when a man describes himself, you now bring theology and say he's not. He said he's a consuming fire. He by himself said, I kill, then I make alive. He said it himself. You can say, he's not. He said it himself. If I tell you, you can see I'm a man. How do you tell me you are? I am a man. Say, no. Actually, biologically, according to so and so moon, what are you talking about? Amen? So, how do we describe Jesus in respect to relating with the Father? Listen to this. Jesus is the one given to us in our human form. He became man. First, for one thing, Hebrews 4 verse 15. For we have not an high priest who cannot be touched with what? The feelings of our infirmities. Seeing that he was tempted in all sides like we are, and yet without what? Sin. Now listen well. Paul was speaking to Timothy, 1 Timothy 2. Look at what he said. 1 Timothy 2, 5. Is it 2, 5 or 2, 7? Now, follow me quickly. 1 Timothy. Let's look at what Paul said. Look at it. Now, he said, for there is one God, 2, 5 now, and one mediator between God and men, who? The man, Christ. Come on, read that place again. 1, 2, 3, go. Come on, take it again. One last time. Now, listen to this. Listen to this. Jesus was not referred to as the image of the invisible God when he was in the form of the Word. He was referred to as the image of the invisible God when he took the form of man. Listen. The transition from the Word to man was an irreversible transition. So much so that even right now as we speak, he's sitting in heaven as a man. You don't understand. What that means is that Jesus became a man for life. He's the only one in the Trinity that became man forever. The reason why he's the image of the invisible God is because he's a man. And you can see him and relate with him as one of your kind. You cannot relate with God the Father that way except through Christ. The only way to approach the Father is through Christ. Because as much as his love is, so powerful are his principles. He doesn't bend them. And it's not like Jesus is the bended version of God's principle. But he is the understandable version. So we have not an high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our... Seeing that he too was in all point tempted like we... And that's why you could read in John 21 that even after resurrection, he could come with them and still eat bread and still eat fish. They were praying, they were in the room. He could enter without knocking. Now, the form that he has now, it was described in 1 Corinthians 15 as the celestial body. It is not, listen to this, that body that will be clothed with at rapture. It is not the same body that angels have. Angels, listen to this, angels are They are light. In fact, when we discuss in theology, angelology, we describe them not as persons. We can describe their activities, messengers, and so on and so forth. One sent to minister to the heirs of salvation. But essentially, angels are light. But the celestial body that will be clothed with is an upgraded version of this body that has flesh. There's flesh. There's flesh. There's flesh and bones. No blood. Because flesh and blood cannot inherit that promise. So like our Savior, that the blood was shed, there's not going to be blood. It's flesh and bones. So by what the blood does in terms of the life of a thing is in the blood, is what the Spirit now do to power you. You don't need blood. You don't need blood. Are you following what I'm saying? So that's the life of the Spirit. So there's no need for blood and say, see. And listen, that body is also not going to be limited. With the celestial body, all right, the Bible says we will know as we are known. You don't know what that means. What that means is, you see, hold on a minute. I want to help you. So by the time we now go back to Jesus as the Son of God, you can now understand. When in a service there's a word of knowledge and say that your name is so-so-and-so-and-so-and-so, you are from so-so-and-so state, and then this, you study so-so-and-so-and-so, you came from here. Say, wow, that is a fraction of what the celestial body will do naturally. With that body, you will know as you are known. The only way to know as you are known is to know through your thought. But let's leave it. I don't want to get into that. All right, that's eschatology. Okay? So that, because if I get into that without going further in it, it will look like I'm teaching heresy. But when we get there, you are going to, I'm showing you scriptures. Are you following what I'm saying? If you have time, we could have sat down with 1 Corinthians 15 and be amazed. So, say it again, Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Say it again, Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Amen. Where is the Holy Spirit now? The Holy Ghost has not returned back to heaven since the day of Pentecost. Let's look at the life of the Godhead. First, Jesus was on earth. The Holy Ghost came on him bodily. See, Jesus is the only man that operated in the fullness of the Spirit. What we all have is a measure. You see, Jesus did not receive of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost dwelt in him. Why? He could find his expression. Now, the reason why that is so is not because God was giving him a cheat code. It was not a cheat code. If you will live a life of obedience and a life of absolute alignment with God, the Holy Ghost will dwell in you without measure. With measure means that's the space you've given him. Hello? Are you getting what I'm saying? But Jesus could accommodate him fully. He could. Praise God. And that's why the Bible says that if the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead be in you, that same Spirit will quicken your mortal bodies. And listen to that. That's not a small word. That's not a small word. That's not a small word, though. Let me say this to you. One of the characteristics of the Holy Spirit is that he's faithful. He doesn't depart. Oh boy. I wanted to say something. The reason why the dead in Christ will rise at rapture is because the Holy Ghost is there. That's the reason. Alright? And the reason why the resurrection of Jesus, listen to this, is the highest display of the power of God. What did I say? The resurrection of Jesus is the highest. You guys are calling me into something deeper, but let me help you a bit. You see, as a principle, from Adam, man must taste death. Jesus, God told Adam, said, from the dust thou art, to the dust thou shalt return. Are you seeing that now? That is, you will die. When you eat this, you will surely die. And he came to say, see, you are going to die. And it took Adam almost 1,000 years to learn to die. To tell you how much they were not going to die. Even after being cut off, it took almost 1,900 plus. So it means that there's no body born of woman who has ever crossed millennium. Nobody. The resurrection of Jesus was this. Please pay attention. Jesus come. He took the sin of the world on himself. In fact, as a matter of fact, the Bible said he became sin. Not that he sinned. So when Jesus died and he gave up the ghost, he did not go to hell willingly. Sin led him to hell. Hold on a minute. Until that time, Abraham called their names. They were all trapped in a place called Sheol, in the grave. They were not in heaven. So Jesus came. And the devil must have been, you see, you must be a stupid Messiah. You see, now you have died for them. Even if you are going to get out of this place now, who is the high priest that is going to offer the whole thing? But in Jesus' case, the offering is the one who will offer it. Is the offerer. The offering is the high priest. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, nobody, what did I say? Nobody has ever entered into the gate of death and come out, never to taste death again. Nobody. So it means until Jesus, everyone that was raised from the dead die again. The boy that the bones of Elisha waked died again. The widow's son that died, that rose up, died again. Lazarus that was raised from the dead died again. So the resurrection was not an escape from death. It is power over death for life. It means, see, death was supposed to have power over man. It means this kind of man triumphed over death in victory. You don't know what that means. It means case over, won, victory won for life, never to die again. That's the resurrection. So in Revelation 1:18, he said, I am Alpha and Omega, the one who was, the one who is. The one who is to come. He said, listen, I was dead. We don't call him late Jesus. I was dead. Now I am alive. Not waiting to die. Forevermore. You don't understand that. He now said, see, that's not all. I have the key of hell and of death. So it means I didn't rise. The Bible said he made open show of principalities and power. He made public display of them. So it was not somebody that entered into hell, you see, and then came out small good out. When he came out, he freed all from Adam to his death and set them free. Do you understand what I'm saying? And by the way, just so you know, your Bible would have been contradicting himself if it took Jesus 3 days to do this in hell. Because he told that guy at the right hand, today you'll be with me in paradise. So how many days did he take him? How many days did he take him? You think Jesus needs 3 days to dislodge powers of darkness? The only reason he died for 3 days, he was in the grave for 3 days, was so that it could be beyond human doubt. The Jewish custom don't believe that the soul is separated from the body until after 3 days. So prophecy went ahead. The signs of Jonah. As Jonah was in the belly of the fish, so shall the Son of Man be. So Jesus didn't need 3 days to see. Do you understand? It was, resurrection then was so serious that on that Sunday, that day he woke up, it was like there was a pilgrimage experience in Jerusalem. Because they all began to see new faces they could not explain. Forget about nations coming, people. What that means, I wanted to say this, but what that means is that there is no archaeological site that has the bone of Abraham, Jacob, and so. Nothing. They've risen. So because what some Christians believe is that, so day one, it was still fighting them, but day two. No. It did everything, went there, offered the whole thing. In fact, I'm not going to go there today. His death was not just about man. There was also something that his blood was supposed to do about the tabernacle of heaven. Because the earthly tabernacle is a reflection of what is there. Okay? Listen. Even those that you heard in the Bible that this so and so person was not, for God took him. This person went to heaven by a wild wind. They are coming back as the two witness. After rapture, they must taste death. So imagine that there is a generation of believers that will be on earth when the rapture comes. They will never taste death. It's a big deal. If you know how powerful these laws are, it's a big deal. So what Jesus did, and guess, now this is where the devil's headache is. Jesus did all he did as a man. He made public display of them as a man. The priest of the world came to him, could not find anything of theirs in him. As a man. He rose from the grave as a man. No one else could have reflected the image of God better than the Word became flesh. Are you seeing that now? See, he's saying many things can make you misconstrued and misunderstand what the Father is. But look at me, you will understand him. Because when you read the Old Testament, you'll see judgment, who made Pharaoh and his host sink for his mercy. And what kind of mercy is this? Say it again. Jesus is the express reflection of the Father's image. Hallelujah. So when Peter said, "You are the Christ." What? The Son. So it means you are aware that the Word became flesh then. Someone must have told Peter. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. They said flesh and blood didn't show you this. Now, listen to this. The church was established that day. Amen? The church, the spiritual entity. Now, Jesus now said to them, he said, Peter, I say to you, you are Peter, all right, upon this rock. I told you the meaning of I say to you, you are Peter. Yeah, I told you the meaning. It's a prophecy. Simon means a confused person, an unstable person. So when he gave that, he said, I say to you, you are a rock. You are stable. But on this rock of revelation of Jesus, of me as the Son of God,
I will build my church. But the next thing after mentioning the church is the gate of hell. It means the primary edict of the gate of hell is the church. What did I say? The primary edict of the gate of hell is who? The church. Now, listen to this. One time I saw a question. Somebody was asking a question online. He said, if a poison expires, will it become more poisonous or less poisonous? Do you understand that question? Can I ask again? If a poison, somebody wants to drink Sniper and is now checking if it's expired. The person is not ready to die. True or not true? Because this kind, anything done to make it worse will only make it better for the job. You don't understand that. Now, hold on a minute. Who can show me fake $1,000 bill? Have you seen people who fake money before? Who print fake money? Have you ever seen fake $1,000 bill before? You've never seen before. You've never seen anyone. They've not spent it. Have you not seen fake one? All right. $1,000 bill. Have you? Yeah. Okay. Now, listen. There's no fake of what doesn't exist. There's no fake. Okay? There's no fake of it. Because it doesn't exist. There are only fake churches because there are true churches. The devil doesn't fight what is false. So one time I shared this story on OAU campus. A boy got confused. And many people are in that confused state. Just got angry. He came to a place called Membo. Look around. This is Winners Campus Fellowship holding their prayer meeting. This is RCF holding their prayer meeting. This is CACSA holding their prayer meeting. This is ECU holding their prayer meeting. Knife Fest holding their prayer meeting. And he said, why all this nonsense? Why are we so many? Why can't there be one church? He asked. He got offended and left. I said, he's not doing this Christianity again. Then he went to meet some affairs. And they took him to Ilorin and made him recite certain things, gave him certain things to eat. And said, from today, if you try to go back, you will die. And they tried to seal him like that. You see. So when I heard of his story, every effort to reach him proved about. So I said, I won't eat till God encounters him and he runs back. So he began to have a series of visions on the third day of no food. So he sent for me. So I came to meet him and I explained to him. I said, see, number one, listen and listen good. The reason why there are many denominations is because there are many assignments. The reason why there are many churches with many styles, different approach to ministry, is because the devil is not doing one thing in people's lives. And because the church is the original plan of God, there has to be different kinds. There are people that if this church is the only thing that exists, they will never attend. Because they can't relate. They can't relate with it. And you must understand that you cannot cover more than those you reach. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can only impact those you touch. There are people you are not even touching. But there are ministries that are graced with the ability, the style, the uniqueness to minister to them. For instance, someone says, no, well, there's nothing like deliverance. Oh boy, have you seen people? See, oh, let's stop all this nonsense. Let's stop already, okay? You say there's no deliverance? There's no deliverance? Somebody is sleeping at night. True story. A spirit will enter and begin to have sex with the person. And they will wake up and feel it on their body. You say it's just their mind. How funny are we sounding? How funny are we sounding? I was ministering in the church and the Lord said to me that there are two witches there. One wants to give her life to Christ as people are way out. The other one is not ready for that. I called the one out. The person came out.
The other person who is not ready, who is looking for trouble, let the trouble begin. The power of God descended on her. She began to scream. What do you do to that person? Sit down and learn exegesis. You cast out the spirit. You command the spirit to get out. You cast out the spirit. Wherever we get this nonsense from, it's going to lead us to a Christianity that is full of knowledge, empty of power. Are you following what I'm saying? And listen, and let this humble you. It is not everything you are saying that is correct. There is more to the story. We know in part. Thank God for the word of God. Go to ministries where they are dealing with deliverance cases. See, one time, let me share this with you. One time, people were, 2015, people were saying, there's nothing like deliverance ministry. We preach Christ, he crucified. Then I say, okay. Around that season, all right, they invited Dr. Lukoya to Ife. I thought they won't come. They came. So while he was ministering, he said, there's somebody here. I'm seeing a dog running out of your skirt. A dog. As he was saying that, a girl began to scream in front. Who? You say there's nothing like deliverance. Okay, what do you do to that girl? Sit down, let's show you scriptures. You cast out that spirit. He said, I'm seeing the spirit of death. Shake your head. See, whichever one he says, do it. Shake your head. The spirit is coming out. See the power of God bearing witness with those things. The people who need deliverance the most are those saying there's nothing like deliverance. It takes one strong obonge spirit. And those spirits are happy, as you are saying. They say, yeah, correct. We have him where we want him. Do you understand what I'm saying? Face the assignment God has given to you. You can't build the body of Christ. You can only build your ministry. And God, through your ministry, build his body. Jesus said, I will build my church. It's not your business. He has given you a portion to face. Face your work. You see, and let me say this to people who are poking their eyes in other people's ministry. When you are done, you will not have a ministry again. Yeah, no, you don't have a ministry. Nobody has been appointed as the police of the body of Christ. There's no such thing. Face your work. And if you dish correction, dish it in love. If a man be caught in a fault, let them with the spirit of meekness restore such a person. Let me leave that. Are you following what I'm saying here? I wanted to give you examples of deliverance cases. Let me give you two. No, I've seen matters. I just don't talk again. A girl came to me. No man has ever asked her out as at then 25. I mean, no man has ever said, I love you. You know, she has said, not even by chance. See her picture, everybody is, does this. When she came, I wanted to pray for her. As I closed my eyes, I saw her carrying a pot on her head. I said, Lord, what do I do? He said, push it away. I said, in the name of Jesus, I command this thing you are carrying on your head, get out. And that was it. Just one statement. He said, you can go. He said, I said, you can go. Listen to what I'm telling you. The girl is alive. She can be here to share a story. As she stepped out of the church, less than 3 minutes, she ran back. And she was crying. What happened to you? She said, the moment she stepped out of the church, a car blocked her. And the guy said, I've been trying to find a way to talk to you. I don't know how. You think people don't know how to approach you means you're a big girl. That's the power of darkness rolled out. That person is the person they married that same year, and today they have 2 children. Let me give you another example. A young man who had epilepsy was brought to me. And there's no epileptic cases I prayed for that was not healed. Now listen, because I understand the secret. Came to me, said, this guy has epilepsy, blah, blah, blah. I looked at him. He forms Jack during class, during lecture and all those. What's happening to you? Asked him questions. Sat down to talk. As I was going to pray for him, God said, don't pray for him. Clean the right side of his head. I don't know what was there. I touched his head, cleaned the right side, wiped it off. I said, I clean whatever the devil has placed here in the name of Jesus. Immediately he fell to the ground, Jack. Was foaming and doing all those money. That was all I said. And the spirit left him.
I mean, people are in the midst of life's battle. They've had five people die in their family at age 40. Yes, there is a place of teaching, but there is a place of commanding the spirit behind it to get out.
The Church of Christ is not a powerless church. And let me say this to you. The moment you allow your own personal prejudices take preeminence over the word, you'll be used in the areas you believe, discarded in the areas you don't believe. And God will find another person who is open in those areas to do his work. What I'm telling you is that the full potential of the body of Christ does not rest on your shoulder. It doesn't. It doesn't. There are pastors that believe that prosperity is bad. Amen. Have you seen that before? In the course of the week, I was listening to a preacher that I respect so much. And he said something that made my heart cringe. From that moment, I just said, see, man will always be man. He said the problem of Nigerian church began when they begin to bring the messages of Kenneth Hagin in. I said, what is this? What is this? I said, what is this? Listen. This is the reason why you need a Bible teaching church. Because you can be a victim of people's personal prejudices. Are you what I'm saying? There are people, and unfortunately, who have resolved to justify their prejudices. And young people who are just trying to do, they will be scammed. I'm not saying they are trying to scam them. They will be lured into that. There's a Boko Haram militancy mentality that is entering into young people now. Everybody wants to insult, wants to abuse, wants to drag. You don't know what you are doing. Go and check church history. People died for doing those things. People died. Check the story of Jakol. What was the mistake? God says to judge himself on certain things. One of the major mistakes of Jakol, it was in the days where tent was the thing. He was going to build a tent. And one of the mistakes, he overstretched the tent as a way to match up with another preacher in town. One of the, these are things that we do freely now. People can do ministry and preach out of envy and jealousy, and they still resolve. We should be more afraid though. We should be more afraid. What happened to Coolman? I shared the story with you. She invited a minister to come preach. Why she just worked miracles in a meeting. The preacher declined. She said he's a false teacher. Not too long, she developed sickness and died. I heard this from, what's his name? Robert Liardon himself. Another time, a teacher of the word invited Coolman while he teaches, come grace his meeting and work miracles. She couldn't make it down. She declined the invite. The man said, call her a witch or something. Less than 2 months, he died. It's so bad that you see people go on social media and call names. How? How? We should be afraid. We should be afraid. Call names. You see, the rescue system of God in the midst of all this turmoil is to plant you in a local assembly so you can have a form. That's God's method. So you can have a form. Lift your hands and say, thank God for my local assembly. Oh, yes. Yeah, you should say that well if you mean it again. Is that the best? You can't say it. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Are you with me, beloved? I can stay on and on with you on this matter. See? See? God, God's foolishness, in quote now, is wiser than the wisdom of men. Till Jesus comes, there's still going to be different expressions of ministry. Yeah. Till Jesus comes. Multiple expressions, multiple flavors, multiple dimensions. It is the inexhaustible riches of God's wisdom, expressions of grace. Some can express 5-10, one person, depending on the yieldedness. You can see the person is writing, is preaching, is singing, is acting. Check TD Jakes. Multiple expressions. In Africa, we mostly have people who have allowed God in certain area and stopped him in certain area. For instance, you can believe that as a pastor, you can't be a career coach. For instance, you can believe that as a pastor, you can't sing. Say, just pastoring. You now begin to say, how did the fathers do it? You must understand that the wisdom of God is not trapped in the past. It's ever evolving. Are you following what I'm saying? What is a mystery to a generation is a common sense to another. There are certain things that the whole generations didn't do, because they did not deal with the complications of our time. Paul never had to minister to anybody who was battling with pornography. There was no such. I said there was no such. Yes, to get to this generation, you need that. If not, you'll be trapped. Like in the days of old ministry. See, if you know how much I honor the fathers? But I don't believe that ministry should actually be patterned in the days of old. There is something new God is saying. See, we pick things from them. We pick prayer. We pick fasting. We pick consecration. We don't pick message without balancing it. Because many of those things were not taught in their wholeness. But God honored their honesty. And that doesn't mean we'll go back and judge them. And say, look at the message. No, no, no. You see there. I was watching a video of Archbishop Benson Daosa. Was it the day before yesterday? He was ministering. And they brought a woman. The woman was dead. She was dead. He laid hands on her. In the name of Jesus, come back to life. Come back. He asked for a bottle of water. He just sprayed the water on her head. He didn't even look back. Say, get up. I saw the video. She got up. With all your exigencies, if you can't work miracles, be humble to know what God honored in their lives. I watched the video of A. Allen. A man was paralyzed. You know what he said when he prayed for him? He said, God, you are not going to disappoint me now. People are watching us. I won't pray like that. I won't pray like that. I won't feel God will heal me because I don't want to be disappointed. But God honored it. He said, people are watching us, so you are not going to let this man go back home sick. I said, what is this? And he said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up. And he picked him up and he walked. God did honor something. See, you can't just make empty words. Some people say, Apostle Lazarus, your ministry, this is why you're honoring fathers. God has moved on from there. Shh. Nobody in a race is a legal runner without the baton received. Are you following what I'm saying here? You can talk from now till tomorrow. International Ministers Conference is coming. We are still going to honor another father. That doesn't mean anybody we honor is going to die. But I have seen God strategically lead us to honor certain individuals that we didn't know were on their way out. The final interview with Daddy Oyo, we have it. My servant Lawrence sat with him. He poured out wisdom. I mean, he died probably 2 weeks after that interview. Sat down, poured. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because listen, no. It is not a new enemy. It is the same old enemy. The demons you are fighting, they are not new guys. They are not freshers. There's no fresher. There's no fresher as a demon. They are not new guys. They are the same demon has been in the days of Adam. In the days of Moses. Do you understand what I'm saying? I said there's no fresher among demons. Some of the demons who are dealing with Jesus cast them out. Who knows? Maybe that guy that had legion, the one of those legions is not in Nigeria. Maybe he's not in Abuja. Outside all these politicians that are eating money. Yeah. Old guys, listen to this. The devil doesn't change the winning team. When he sees that something work, he reinvents it again. Jezebel could come back as Herodias. God will have to bring Elijah as John the Baptist. When the same old demon shows up, God bring mantles that are relevant to dealing with that kind and put it on a man. Who honors it? Who honors it? Not the one who doesn't believe it's true. Who honors it? Put that command here. Hallelujah. Listen to me. We can go on and on and on. Eh? When Jesus said, I will build my church, he said, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. It means from the beginning, the fate of the church has been sealed. Victory. So listen to this. They are killing Christians in Jos. They are annihilating Christians in Kaduna. They are doing all these things. In Abuja, they have laws against Christians. And blah, 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 blah. We are talking about dealing with LGBTQ community all over the world. Praise. See, the church is being fought on all fronts. LGBTQ are doing their own. If you're a pastor, you won't join two males together. They will put you in jail. Government of nations are doing their own. See, I wanted to mention one invitation I got to one of the Arab nations. I don't want to go into it. They don't say maybe Apostle was running. I'm not running, though. Man, I don't fear anything, though. I'm telling you. But let me leave that. Government, different things. This one, everybody seems to be against the church. And guess what? They cannot bring the church down. Jesus will meet this church, a glorious bride, ready and prepared. The church has always won through all these things. They've killed us in our thousands. We still emerge through the arches. He said he will, and he said they won't prevail. He said it himself. Oh, when they find out that you have Christian name, they won't give you this job. Relax! The gate of hell won't prevail. Won't prevail. They've tried it always. They've done many things. If you have an idea of the... Look at Nigeria's political system. Look at the way they could push a form of ticket and say this. With the belief that there is nothing the church can do, but Jesus said the gate of hell will not prevail. Will not prevail means the church too. Huh? The church too must become. Listen to what I'm saying. The church too must learn to fight. A combatant church. Because the word prevail means there will be a fight. The word prevail means there's going to be a... So the issue is that we have not learned how to fight different battles. How to fight on economical front, on political front, on doctrinal front. We have... See, there is still a need for men who have the keys that open what doors to rise. And that's wisdom. Because no matter what you teach, somebody has a message against it. And the person is very loud. And very bold. And very, very corrosive. And they will release 100 videos. So by the time you are done watching 50, even you say, I don't think there's anything like seven mountain of influence. We are not saying that it is written in the Bible, seven mountain. But if the dominion mandate given to man is true, in fact, there are more than seven mountains. Hallelujah!
we are a combatant church.
We are not ignorant of the devices of the enemy. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapon of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. For the pulling down strongholds, casting down imagination, and every high things that exalt itself against the knowledge of God.
We are a combatant church. When people have different opinions compared to what you have seen in the Bible, it is a proof you have to fight it through. They say this door won't open because we're a Christian. You've got to come back with more loads.
I won't just come back with the name Christian. I'll come with the value that shows it.
We must understand that.
I was not going to call this teaching ecclesiology before. We're going to call it the prevailing church. That was the first name I gave him. I said, pull it down. Let's go into theology. Will come from there. This is where we are going. The church that has learned to fight. You see, in this economy, the bride of Christ is a sword-wielding bride. Not just the beautiful one who knows how to deck herself and adorn herself with costly or beautiful apparel. The church is one who understands the heart of warfare. The heart of war. The heart of war. We know how to fight. Listen to this. We know how to fight not just on our knees, but where legislation is concerned.
Let me sit down for a minute. Sit down for a minute.
Let me see if I can. So you can understand that, listen, if you stay in church and just pray and think that's all it takes to conquer the gate of hell, you are just on one mountain. There's six more.
That the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. This is the mission of the International School of Ministry, ISM. Brace yourself and get set for an equipping.